Today's daf is very clear. It's daf tzadik ches. Very clearer than that. And we're up to the second line. Hahi itita. So hahi itita the taf sekasa the kasa bechtuvata. There was a woman who had been tofeset betaltali. Okay, however this takes place, we talked before, the tofes betaltalim, dafka when the husband is alive, came tofes betaltalim, he is somim, it's not true. Okay, whatever the case is, she had walked off with a becher, silver becher for ketuva. Now, a silver becher wasn't worth a full ketuva. But after her husband died, katav'a mezonim. So she wants now to be fed by the tomim. Atayla kami de rava. And so she sues them, brings them to Rava's court. What's the grounds for not giving her mezonot? Well, because of Rabbi Shimon, that even if she collected half of her ketuvah, we just had in the Mishnah, so that's enough, or part of her ketuvah, partial collection is enough to prevent her from getting mezonot. Let the chashla of Rabbi Shimon. Nobody, even is choshesh lahalocha, under any circumstances, for Rabbi Shimon shitot, the Omar lo aminon miktzat kesef kikol kesef, who holds that we don't say a remainder of the kesef du gives her all the rights of all of the kesef du, which is what we had learned before, is the underlying svara of Rabbi Shimon from the last thing we learned yesterday. Shalach le Rabba b'rei de Rava le Rav Yosef. We've been talking about a woman who's mocheret on her own. Shalach beitid. That's a strange kind of thing to do. Lamaisa, the Gemara says in Baba Batra that this only works out if you work through the sugya, that she has to get three expert opinions as to the value of the car. But that's not the same as a public auction. Usually when a court sells, it's only a public auction. You need 30 days, 30 days, advertising, and so on. It's not a small thing. It's not enough just to get them in. That's open to abuse, where you start getting estimates, as we all know. An open auction is another thing. A court does it with an open auction. You're telling me she has a right to do it on her own. Does she need to take a shvua afterwards, standard shvua, where she's been in charge of kesev and swear to us that you didn't embezzle or swear to us you didn't sell too cheaply or whatever, or not? Says the Gemara, let's just see it inside. Says the Gemara, why is that the first question? I mean, isn't the first issue to be determined as to whether you actually need an hachraza? I mean, if you're asking me whether you need a shvuah, so apparently you're taking for granted that we don't need a hachraza. But first of all, the hachraza has many implications in terms of a shvuah as well, because if it's a hachraza, it's much more difficult to play games at a public auction than when you're. Certainly, the element of the shvuah that says, well. This has some learn, next person learns the opposite. Some learn that there's less of a ground once there's a public auction for requiring the shvuah. So why don't you have that first question? Tosfos says, if you do need hachraza, for sure you need a shvuah, because hachraza is even a greater chashash that we would have it force it to take hachraza. Oh, malay hachraza lo kimi boili, I don't have any suffix. Of course she does not need hachraza. I'll prove that to you. Because the Amar Bizer Rabbi Nachman, Almana Shama Behatzma, lost of Loklum. See, an Almana, instead of selling, she takes the field as the estimated value from the assessor. She's like, I'll keep the field. So it'll be my field. That's no good. Lost of Loklum, it's nothing. So now, let me ask you something. What does that mean? It's nothing. If it was on a public auction, and basically she outbid everyone. So she took it for her bid, which was higher. So I understand, what's wrong with that? Where's the grounds to be choshes that was hanky-panky in a public auction? Why shouldn't she be able to outbid anybody else? I mean, to say, I'll take that in lieu of my ketuvah, which means that you were only giving 150, I'm giving 200, basically. So my loss, tavelo klum, el alav de lo achrut. So it's got to be talking about there was no public auction, and therefore we won't let her take it on herself. That's too open to abuse. So the atzma hu delo asta v'lo klum. But hala acher, where you have an involvement of another party, there's obviously less chashash of embezzlement or playing games on the price when a third party is involved than when it's just between herself, one pocket and the other pocket. So apparently we would have said that if it comes to selling to someone else, masha asta asta, that it would have been a perfectly good sale. And there you go. So apparently you don't need akrazat for somebody else. Not necessarily. It could very well be that the issue over here has nothing to do with hanky-panky. Maybe it's talking about the akras, the olam, the akras. The point over here is the amrila, if the yatomim want to take back the field. So they say to her, excuse me, but man samlech, who exactly gave that field to you? What do you mean you kept it? You kept it means it never was transferred. There needs to be an act of transfer. If I sell it to a third party, there was a kinyan. But if you keep it when you were part of the estate, when did it ever move from being ours to yours? Explain this. It was exactly in the status it had been before. And we have exactly that case, actually, in a similar vein, Kiyodeu Gavra. The Afkido Gabekista, the Atmi, there was a guy who, a man had given over a container, either, Rashi has two pshat, I mean, Kista, could be either Kista is fodder, animal feed, or Kista is coral, Akista.
That's exactly
coral.
Like
Almoko? Yeah, Almoko, exactly. There it's the reversal of the Yud, it's Kasita. It's coral, so it was a clue, but it's Kista, which is father, Kasita. In any event, Ozor Shamal Nafshe, the father had owed him 400 zuz, right? So he took it in lieu of the 400 zuz, and he kept it. And the end, Ayeker, it went up, the price of coral went up, and now come Bishit Meah, it was now worth 600, so the Yatomim sued him, and want it back. We'll pay you 400. So after the Kamid Rabami, it comes to Rabami, and Rabami says, how did it get to be yours? It was in your rishus before the shomer. So the fact that you decided in your mind that it's yours, that makes it yours? Who gave it to you exactly? So if nobody does that act, there's no kinyan. There's no kinyan at any time that they say, look, basically that's been in our rishus the whole time. I mean, we understand we can't get the monetary value, but we'll pay you the monetary value, give it back to us. Why should you get the additional profit of the 200 zuz, which has gone up in price? It was never conduit to you, so now we want it back. And indeed, that's how he paskin. In which case, it could be that that's exactly the issue that's going on over here. The reason that the woman who keeps the field for herself has to give it back if they want it is because how was she kind of it? There's nothing to indicate any change in Baalut before and after. She always had the right to deal with this field, but that's because she has the right to sell Shalom if they bet him. But what makes it given to her? Did somebody hand it over to her? Maybe that's the issue. Halacha l'maaseh hilchata tzricha shvu'ah ve'inat tzricha hachrasa. Indeed, she does not need a public auction, but like anybody else who has sole access to money, she obviously has to take a shvu'ah. Okay. Here's a case where an almana was selling property shelo bifnei beitin. And what she does is that she sells, it's a really good deal, and she sells shove money b'matayim. She takes 100 zuz worth of karka, and she sells it for 200. Or vice versa. She sells 200 worth of karka, and she only gets 100. In either case, nitkablak tuvata. We'll see why this is true, because it seems to be contradictory. I mean, if we look at the value of the karka, so then mamanovshach. If we look at the value of the sale, mamanovshach. The Gemara will explain this. Hayitak tuvata mana umachrasha v'mana v'dinner v'mana. How about the ktuva is a standard ktuva almana, a mana. She sells a field that was actually worth that money, but it was also worth an extra dinar. Now, she had no rights to take that dinar at all. Basically, she sold something that wasn't hers. So this seems to be a Brooklyn Bridge sale. You're selling something that doesn't belong to you. Michra batel, the mecher is batel. Even if she says, I'll pay you back the extra dinner. I made a mistake. So therefore what? We got to cancel the whole thing? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, la'olam nichra kayam As long as she gives back the extra, she's not causing any loss. So what do we care? Until she actually does cause a loss, where would that be? That would be in a case where she's depriving them of something particular. Now, a dinner worth of land, I mean, that's a joke. Are they going to give her a square inch of land for them? What are they going to do with a square inch of land? But suppose they already had something that was close to the size of a field. Now, a field needs to be a minimum of tisha kabin. We measure fields by the amount of seed in a particular volume that ground would be able to handle planting in.
To be considered halachic on the field.
Yeah, no, but first I was just explaining why it's a very strange way to measure a field, by a volume measure. So we measure it by a volume measure because that's the number of seeds that could be planted in this area, standard planting. So tisha kabin is the shear of a field. So therefore, it says in Shulchan Aruch Leo, in effect, she hasn't caused them any loss, unless So if we're talking about she sold land from a field, so look, if Lamaisa there's tisha kabin that she left behind, then obviously any extra inch of land was part of the field. There I agree. Michra batel, she can't sell somebody else's field that doesn't belong to her. Because it's not just money, it's an actual piece of my property. I want my property back. So that's for sure. Or if there's nothing left to the Arshim, but the amount of the difference that she took above and beyond was tisha kabin. Or if they held just beneath tisha kabin, but with that additional amount, it would have been tisha kabin. In any of the three cases, they hold tisha kabin, this could be added, the whole amount that she took is tisha kabin, or with this amount they would have tisha kabin. So in those three cases, they were caused a serious loss, because their field is not smaller than it would have been. If we're talking about, she sold a gina, a vegetable patch obviously doesn't have to be as large as a field. So a gina, if it can handle seedlings that would fill a chatzi kav, or according to Rabbi Akiva, even a rova would be sufficient. Now, how about in a case where she sells piecemeal? Her ketuva was worth arba meot zuz. And she sells to separate people separate pieces. So she sells umachol azeh b'mana, v'lazeh b'mana, and of course the third person b'mana, and then to the last one, she does the same shtick that she sells a mana of a dinner b'mana. So over there, only the last one is bottle. Because there she took something that wasn't her. But shel kulan michran kayam, mashenken, all of the others, the mecher is okay. Now there's two issues here, you'll note. It's important to note these two issues. She's selling something that doesn't belong to her. A. She's selling for the wrong price. B. There may be one or the other of those things may be critical, or maybe both of them will be critical. That's something that we're going to have to explore in the Gemara. Now, first let's take the first piece of the Mishnah. The first piece of the Mishnah is contradictory. You're telling me, in the beginning you say, if she sells something worth 200 and she only gets 100 for it, we tell her, okay, you got your ketuvah. The land that you took was worth lemaisa 200. So we tell her, at ifsadet, you were the one who was mafsi. So then if that's the case, if she took only shava mana b'matayi, so she should also say, look, you're going to get me on both ways. I took 100. That's all I took. What's your business what I got? I got. People were very nice to me. They gave me 200. When I did it the other way, you're saying, it's all your fault. You lost the money. No? Okay, so now it's all my fault. I made the money. But don't tell me you gave me 200. You can't have it both ways. Tema, let her say, Ana Avachna, I made the money. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Barakua. Here is the place where indeed Rebbe lets us know in the Stam Mishnah that Hakol Lebal HaMa'ot, everything goes to the guy who brings the cash. So in other words, if somebody had appointed a shliach to go and get something for him, and he says, buy me X for X dollars, and the guy buys X for half X dollars, then he buys double X. And he says, that part's for me. No, part's not for him. You used my money to buy. You got a good deal. I get the good deal. Not you get the good deal. And this is where Rebbe paskins this. And indeed, this is a machloket, kinatanya. Hosifu lo achat yitera. Suppose over here, the storekeeper throws in an extra package. That goes to the shliach, leave Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yossi omer, cholki. Rebbe Yossi says, well, it's half and half, because he's giving partially to the buyer, but, I mean, he would never have given to the buyer without the other guy's cash. I mean, so Lamaisa, it's a relationship kind of thing. It's true, when somebody buys, the storekeeper wants a relationship with the one who's doing the buying. I mean, the one who's giving the money, that's not the point. I want you to buy here again next time, so I give you a little gift. But, so over there, nonetheless, obviously it wouldn't have happened without the other one, so it's a gift to both of them. They would split it. So far, this is not obviously what we've been discussing, right? Clearly. Because nobody is saying, I call about it. Okay. Says the Gemara, is it not, however, it's all part of the proof that there is such a shita. V'atanya Rabbi Yosef Mer HaKol L'Baal HaMa'ot. What do you do with the fact that Rabbi Yosef contradicts himself? Omer Rami Bar Chama Lo Kasha. Kan B'davar She'yesh Lo Kitzva. Kan B'davar She'en Lo Kitzva. What we're talking about is a case where somebody bought something with a set price and the guy throws in an extra one. So it's obvious over there. It wasn't that we're talking about you got a great deal. It's obvious the guy is giving you a gift. So that's where they're arguing. But where you got a good deal, let's say we're talking about real estate. What are you telling me? The set price on real estate? Well, no, we got a plus or minus 15-20% on real estate. You know, it depends basically how long you hold on to it, whether you find a buyer who happens to like particularly this area and so on and so forth. So over there, I call a balamot. You can't say because you told me to get it for this, you got it better, therefore you get to keep the money. Here, Rebbe is paskin, including like Rebbe Yossi, in the case of real estate, which is what we're talking about over real estate, general kitzvah. Omer of Papa, Hilchata Davash Yeshlo Kitzpacho King, Davash Eno Kitzpacho Labala Ma'ot. That indeed is Aloha. Yeah, we just said that, Rav Papa. Michael Mashman, are you trying to add something? No, I'm just coming to tell you. Shinuyahu. That, look, this wasn't just a way to get out of a stira. This is, in fact, reflected in halacha. It's a big difference between a davar sheyesh lo kitzvah and a davar sheino kitzvah. That's all I'm telling you, is that it's not just a way out of a problem. In Rabbi Yossi, it's actually halacha lemaisa. Iboy, Omar le zvin li litcha. Suppose the guy says, buy me a half of a kur, a letech. V'azal v'zoven le kura. Sell me, rather. And he goes ahead and he sells a kur, full kur. So now, what happens? Obviously the guy says, what's the matter with you? You had no right to sell all of that property. I want it back. So my, mosifan dvaravu v'litcha niyakani. Obviously we're talking about over here where the buyer is necha to keep half. Right? So the buyer says, okay, but at least the half he sold, that he sold with rishos. The other half he sold, that was the Brooklyn Bridge. I give it back. But the part that he sold was a good shlichut. So that's the question. Can the guy change his mind, the mishaleach, and say, you didn't do my shlichut, because this is all one sale. So this sale violated the shlichut, and the truth is I got a better offer. I'm not interested in your sale. But Klal, I canceled the whole thing. So how do we look at it? Is he called adding to him, and at least the letach, the first half, miyakani, or maybe he actually was violating the terms of his shlichut, and therefore the whole thing can be bought. V'lit chanar milokani. Omar Rav Yaakov bin Harpakot b'shveda Ravina Tashma. Let me bring you a raya. Now obviously we see where this is going, right? In terms of our mission. Okay. We're approaching our mission over here. This is basically what happens here. She is violating the terms of her rights to sell.
I didn't understand what Rav was saying about the buyer changing his mind. How is that a factor?
Well, the buyer obviously is not mechuyev to keep half of what he wanted to buy. I mean, he could say, excuse me, I intended to buy this whole thing. If you're not going to sell me the whole thing, bye-bye. Okay. So I'm saying, ignore that. He's willing to go through with it. So that why complicate the sugya? I mean, otherwise we'd have to, you know, talk that out. Toshma, Amar ba'ala bayit lishlucha. Here comes the Bala Bayit, says to his shliach, give a piece of meat to each guest. The shliach goes and he says to the guests, have yourself two pieces of meat apiece. The guests, as usual, take three. Ve'inat lusha looks like the girls from the seminary. Yeah, of course. So over here, if it turns out that it's all hegdish, serve them right. Kulam ma'alu. They were all ma'al. Because the shliach added, that was his own me'ila. The balabayat, the shliach did his shlichut for the first, that was his me'ila. The orchim did it on their own dice, that was their me'ila. Now look, if you're telling me that that extra piece was not a complete violation of what the balabayat said, it was only, the first half was doing what he said, the second half was adding. Then that would explain why the balabayit would be ma'al, because there was a shliach. And of course, when it comes to me'ila, yesh shliach v'dvar aver, as we learn from the pasuk. So therefore, the balabayit would be ma'al. But eliyamit ma'avir al devar avavi, if you're telling me that the shliach never did what he was told to do, then why would the shliach cause the balabayit to be ma'al? He's acting entirely on his own. The balabayit is completely innocent over here. Amay ma'al v'atzdan, ha'shliach sha'asar shlichuto ba'alabayit ma'al. But lo asar shlichuto, the shliach is ma'al. So you seem to see from here that a shliach who violates by going beyond the terms of a shlichut is considered to be a mosif and not in violation. Not at least on the first half. Says you are not necessarily. Because we may be talking about a case where he goes out of his way to separate between the two issues. Hakumayaskina, he says to the orphan, look, the balabayat said you can have a piece. I think you should take two.
And they take three.
And they take three. So over there, he did his shlichut. Then he did something else nasty. But his shlichut he did. He said the balabayat said to take a piece. So we're talking over here in which he said that tulu achat midatosha balabayit, and then take another one for me who sneaks it to you, midati. And then they went at v'shakulinu tlat. Okay, how about the Mishnah? The Mishnah is great, right? It's exactly this.
If it wasn't hegdish, so they'd just be thieves.
Right? Yeah. It's cheaper. Here you got to bring a carbon and pay your duties.
The guests in the shliach would just be.
Tashma, haitak tuvata mana. Umachra shava mina mana v'dinar b'mana. It says over here that the whole mechra is bata. There you go. So since she exceeds her authority, so we're saying the whole thing is canceled. Isn't that the principle of the Mishnah? Now, of course, as we mentioned the Mishnah, perhaps not. Because there's another thing that's happening in the Mishnah, which is that it's being sold for the wrong price. Right? Okay. But let's ignore that for a moment. I mean, because could we not say that the Mishnah is talking about that she was mzavin shava manavadinah? It's not that it was the wrong price. She sold for the right price, but she violated her authority by going beyond what was hers. And therefore we cancel the whole thing. We don't say, even if she says, I'll pay it back, doesn't help. Because she wasn't acting in the Mishnah's asserted right to sell Shalavit Nevedi. She's not a kosher shliach anymore. So my love, the Zavit Shavu Manavadinah, Bimanavadinah. Wait, what do you mean Bimanavadinah? It says Bimanah. No, that means Bimanah for her manah. Doesn't mean she sold it for a manah. It means she sold it for the purposes of her manah. Not for the value of a manah. And now she's giving back the dinner. Right? Because it was a bigger piece of land, and it was, what was she going to do? Sell it and leave over a tiny piece, because that was the part that made it worth it. How am I supposed to do that? So she figures she'll sell the whole thing, then she'll get back the dinner. But she sold it for the right price. It's not that she was cheated. So then, I would assume that that's what it means. It might be money, meaning money shalom. No. So then why does the mission say, even if she says, I'll give it back? What do you mean, even if? That's what we're talking about. If you're telling me she sold it at the right price, obviously she's giving it back. I mean, that was the whole idea. She knows she's only supposed to get a money. So she figured, okay, but the piece of land lamaisa is worth a mona and a dinar. So I'll sell it for a mona and a dinar, and I'll get back the dinar. But don't say afilu. What's this afilu? And the afilu is that even if she says, I'll buy back that piece of land, and I'll give it to the yorshim. So now there's bichlal nothing that they can find, right? Not that, of course, the dinner, the value of the dinner, obviously was something to discuss. But it means, afilu yomer tachzirat ha-dinar li-yorshim ha-dinar mi-karkoi. I'll get the piece of land back for them. And it still says, mikra batel, which shows that exceeding your authority is complete violation. There you go. Fair Mishnah. Omer, v'nibiretiv natan. Who's to say that that's the meaning of the Mishnah? It can't the Mishnah be talking about the Oziel. It's talking about that she sold it for a mana, exactly the way we thought that it meant. She took a mana and a dinner, and she only got a mana for a mana and a dinner. Now you understand why that wouldn't be the first thing that we think. Because the point is that in taking a mana of a dinner, she has definitely exceeded her authority. For us to assume that the way to read the Mishnah is that there's a completely different issue, which is that she was cheated, I mean, why say that? So he said, okay, but let's assume that that's the case. Maybe it's talking about Bada Ozil. Says, well, how could it be talking about Bada Ozil? The Seifa of the Mishnah is definitely talking about a Bada Ozil, as we'll see. And the Reish is also talking about Bada Ozil. I mean, isn't that the point of the Mishnah? It talks about first the case where the only problem is that she exceeded her authority. And then it says another case where she was Ozil. Let's take a look at the Seifa and see why I'm saying that. The Ketani Seifa. Haitak tuvata arba miyotzutz. Machra lezebemana, or lezebemana, or lezebemana. So she sells 300s to three people. Ula acharon, don't worry about the missing one. The Tana is not, you know, the Tana is not an Avon man. You get the point. So she sold three pieces for a mana. Okay. Is that a rochel? And the fourth piece, she sells the acharon yafa mana of a dinner. She sells yafa mana of a dinner b'mana. So then shalachon mikra batel v'shokulan mikra kayap. Okay. Now here it says farish. She sold it for a mana. Okay. So then we're talking about a bit of ozil, correct? So what's the point of telling me another case? It's the same case. What's the point of telling me another case? I think we're talking about two different cases. First case is talking about that it was purely a question of exceeding her authority. And over here it's talking about a case in which she had sold it for less than its value. So what are you going to tell me? Reisha v'seifa b'da ozil? Says the Gemara, yes. It's exactly what I'm going to tell you. There's a big kiddush in the seifa. Even though they're both talking about Bada Ozil. Reisha v'seifa Bada Ozil. The Seifa Kamashmalan. Notice that the only problem over here is Ta'ama the Uzil b'diyatmi. Avo b'dida mikra kayam. We're saying the only reason that we have a problem is because she took the last miss sale when she no longer was owed anything by the Atomi. But had she made the wrong sale in terms of value, where she was still owed by the Atomim, we wouldn't have had a problem. Now that's a chiddush. What do you mean that's a chiddush? That's the first piece of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if she sold a shava matayim b'mana, that's a pretty big, we forget about selling a mana and a dinner for a mana. You're selling matayim for a mana. And it says over there, it's a fine sale, and they could just tell her, you got your ketuvah, so don't tell me that's the chiddush in the Seifa. That was the first thing the Mishnah said. Let's see that inside. It says the Gemara, if you're talking about that case, I know that from the Reisha. Oh, the Reisha Shemat Mina. I see that from the very opening case. I talk to Vata Matayim Umachra Shavamana B'Matayim. Oh, Shavamatayim B'Mana. Nitka Blak to Vata. Okay? What are you going to do about that? So you see over there that even though what she had sold, she sold cheaply, but since it was money that was owed her from the Atomim anyway, she didn't go beyond that amount of money. So then they can tell her, look, this is your problem, this is not our problem. And tough. Why is it tough? I mean, shouldn't she be able to cancel the sale? No. It's not tough because the halacha is enona abakarkaot, perhaps. This is a machlok. This is a number of different approaches as to why we're not going to be mevatel the sale. But this is ativ sadat anaf sheikh. If you're coming to us, you're selling our stuff. One penny, we want to cancel the sale. One penny. Because if you exceed your authority and you do a lousy job of it at the same time, that, of course, I can go and cancel. Which Lamaisa, Tosfos explains, is the reason that before we said you don't need achraza. Because otherwise it's a contradiction. Remember we said before, lekarga, lemezaine, I mean, things that are emergencies you could sell below achraza. Mm-hmm. Why is the collection of a ketuvah by an amana an emergency that you should be able to sell without achraza? Explains Tosfos, because the reason you need achraza is normally when you're coming as a court, you're coming to collect minichsa d'yatme, you're not going to be able to cancel the deal. But since over here the mission says they can cancel the deal for one penny, so how are they're not going to come to any loss. So what does she have to do achraza for? If they have a tiny that it was the wrong price, and they can show that people are willing to pay more, they'll cancel it. So therefore we don't need to put into effect achraza. So that's what's happening over here. If it's her money, who cares? You told me, you want to take it? I don't care. You got your ketuvah, that's all that we care about. You didn't get the money out of the property, you should have. Go worry it, talk it over with the buyer. But over here it's talking about you took an extra penny of our karka and you didn't make any money off of it. So over there, ain't no chinami, we'll be mavatel. So therefore, again, what would be the point of a repetition of Uziel in the Reish and the Seifa, and a repetition of the klal that where she was Uziel b'diyatmi, that it's different than Uziel b'dida, which I know from the Reish also. So it's just repetitious. We're forced to say, as I wanted to be medayik, that the Reish in fact is talking about that she got the right price and she's willing to give back the property for the extra dinner. And nonetheless, the wholesale is canceled, which proves you can't be a partial shliach. You're either doing what you were authorized to do or you're not. So I stand by my words, says the Gemara. No, there's still a chiddush, even though it sounds repetitious to you. Because let's take a look at the ratio. The ratio is talking about the atonement turn around and say, you got 200? Thank you very much. Goodbye. Goodbye. We have nothing to do with you anymore. We're not worried about what you did, how you made money. You took 200 of our property. We're happy to get rid of you, and we don't want to see you again. But over here, she's selling in pieces. If she's selling in pieces, then we ought to be concerned that nigzar mana rishon otu mana acharon. I mean, after all, if we're going to see that michra kayam, because what would we do if she sold the first piece for mana b'dina? I said, that's fine. That's fine. You sold the money of a dinner for money. That's fine. You got it. But then she'll say, okay, I got it. So I'll do the same thing the fourth time. So I got it. So I'll give you the change. No. There you don't got it. So I might have thought that where you're selling in pieces and you're not being mistalik mihai beta legamre, we should make a takona. No. She just can't do it like that. If it's her final sale, then that's the final word on the issue. We don't worry about it. But if she's going to be given the authority to sell at wrong prices, so she's going to end up also exceeding her authority at the wrong price. So there we should be gozer, and it shouldn't be good. Kamashlon, the only problem is the last beast. So now we no longer can bring a riot from our Mishnah, because maybe the first part of the Mishnah is talking about that indeed it was sold at the wrong price. But over there it's talking about where she was mistalik mihai rishus alagamre. Second piece is where she sold it in the wrong price. But it's coming to tell me that afal pikein, even though she's selling now in separate bits and pieces, we only have a problem if she sells at the wrong price where it's affecting the atonim's money. But not where it's affecting her own money, even though you might have thought we should be gozer one for the other. And so we stand with the simple meaning of the Mishnah, that these two issues have become conflated for some reason, and that she's selling above and beyond her authority at the wrong price. But perhaps if she had sold beyond her authority, we wouldn't have been able to cancel the sale completely, if she's able to buy back the piece and give it to them, despite the fact that she acted beyond the range that she was given to act. The part that was within range stands. So far, that's where we're at. We have no right. Now, tomorrow we'll see there's a Nika Niamri, which gives us some maneuverability on these issues. And, of course, while we're at it, gives us new insights into the mission. Let the chashlo of the Rabbi Shimon Yom Alamri to make such kesef kol hakesef. Sholakli Rabba Bered Rav the Rabbi Yosei Molcheret Shelo Bebeti Tzricha Shua or Ein Tzricha Shua. Why aren't you talking about Hakrosa? That's the first issue. Tiboy Lecha Hakrosa. Amar Hakrosa. I know she doesn't need Hakrosa. Look at me, boy. Tom Rabbi Zeir or Rabbi Nachman Almana Sheshama Leatzma Lo Astava Lo Klum. Say Echidam Ida Hakros. What's the problem? Amar Lo Astava Lo Klum. El Alav the Lo Hakros. And the only problem is that it was la'atzma, who the la'asta v'lo klum. But if there had been a third party that was involved that makes it a little bit honest, holy akar, majestasta. No. Who says that the concern over here is for hanky-panky? Maybe it's talking about all along there was akhraza, and it's still la'asta v'lo klum. And why would that be? Le'olam the akhraz. But because the armila, excuse me, but man shamlech. Ki haideu gavad akira bagabe kista diyatmi. And in the end, it was a yaker and kumbashit mea. So the yatomim sue him by Rabami. Amarle, excuse me, sir, but man shamlecha. You were, you, in the context that you were holding it was as a shomer. Or if it was talking about land from a gina, but chatzikav, or if you hold a like Rabbi Akiva in the gina, beit rova. Haytaktu vatar ba miyotzuz umachra lezebemana lezebemana ulacharon yafe mana vedina bemana. Shelacharon batel v'shol kulam mikran kayam. So my shnah shavamatayim b'mona da amrila atif sadet shavamatayim b'mataim which she should say anar vachna. Amr nachman amr abba baravua. Here is where Rebbe teaches us kanshan a Rebbe hakol lebal hamaot, which has become a favorite way of determining who's in charge of yeshivas. Kiratanya. Hosifulo achad yetera hakol lishliach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chokin, Ivi Atani Rabbi Yosef Bar Kol Baal Amaot, Omer Rami Bar Chama Lo Kasha, Kan Bedavar Sheyesh Lo Kitzba, Kan Bedavar Sheyesh Lo Kitzba. Omer Rav Papa Yochata, Davar Sheyesh Lo Kitzba Chokin, Davar Sheyesh Lo Kitzba Kol Baal Amaot, Ma Kamashva. No, he's just telling you, Shinuya de Shanina, Shinuya. Iboilo, Amar Le Zvin Le Litcha, V'yazub Zavane Kura, Amar. Mosif adavar avu velitcha miyakani, odim ma'avir adavar avu velitcha nami lokani. Om Rav Yaakov bin Harpakot, bishmed Ravina, tashma, omar ba'al abayit l'shulcho, ten len chaticha lo orchim. V'u omer tlu shtayim, v'hinna tlu shalosh, and it turns out to be hegdash, kulam ba'alu. See, yami bishle yomos, if adavar av havi, mishum afi ba'al abayit ma'al. Eli yamad ma'avir adavar av havi, ba'al abayit amay ma'al, that's not. Hashliach she'asah shlifato ba'al abayit ma'al. But if lo asah shlifato, the shliach is ma'al. Ach ma'eskinan, the omar lo tlu achat midato she ba'al abayit, and separately zachat midati, and then they went in v'shaklu inu tlat. Toshma itaktu v'tam mona v'mokho shavu mona v'dinu v'mona. Michra batel. Now I assume the meaning of the Mishnah is, dissolving shavu mona v'dinu for a mona v'dinu. The only reason the Mishnah said bimona means in lieu of her ktuva, which was worth a mana, and she, of course, is going to get back the extra dinner. So the mana means mana shalom. So then, what's the meaning of even as she says? I mean, that's the whole point. No, the meaning is my afilu. Afilu yomer takzir the dinner of yorshim in terms of actual property. But dinner mekarkoi. Nonetheless, it says, Mikra Batel. So there you see that to exceed your authority is to lose your authority. Amar Rabbeinu Bereda Rav Natan Lo. Let's talk about over here that she sold at the wrong price. Bit of Ozil, but maybe if she hadn't done that, so then at least for the part that she did correctly, they would have to accept the sale. Can't be. Bit of Seifa, bit of Ozil, Avarish, bit of Ozil, Diktani Seifa. I talked about our Bami Ozuz, Wachala Zebamana, 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 Ulachan Yafa Mana Bediner, Mana Shell, Mana Bediner Bamana. So Shalachan Mikra Batel, Shakula Mikra Kayam. Why repeat? No, it's not repetitious. Rage of a Seifa Bedozil. The Seifa is telling me the Kiddush. Kamash one. Time of the Uzil Bediyatme. But if she had been Uzil Bedida, we wouldn't have been Mavata Lamecher. That's obvious. That Midrash Shemad Mina. There it says, even for double the money, I talked about Amatayim. Umakra Shavamana Bimatayim or Shavamatayim Bimana. Nitkablak Tuvata. Still, I would have thought in the Seifa, where she's selling in separate pieces, it's different. Because ma the tema atabati stakalay mehai bait stakalami hai beta legamri. Avalacha, nigzra manarishana to manacharon. Kabashman, even in such a case, we will distinguish between selling her own things at the wrong price and selling things that she had no right to sell, or where it was partially no right to sell at the wrong price.